Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest today here at AIA 25 is Mike Darsh, VP of Technical Services at Sika Roofing and Waterproofing, Sika Corporation. I'm very familiar because I specify their products all the time. Mike is Vice President of Technical Services at Sika, has more than 10 years of experience in the commercial roofing industry. Prior to commercial roofing, Mike had 10 plus years of working in engineering and designing within the residential construction industry. Interesting switch. His commercial roofing background encompasses many technical and non-technical disciplines, including product development, training, compliance, codes and standards, and business development. Mike is a dedicated SPRI member and founding contributor to NRCA's Pro Certification Program, and a representative at many roofing industry summit meetings. Mike, welcome to Detailed. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
How's the show going for you?
Show's going very well. It's well attended this year. Got great attendance yesterday. Looking forward to the same thing today.
So we're going to talk about you helping me solve some of the problems I may be creating when I do my work. But first, why don't you just, for our listeners who might not be familiar with Sika, give me a 5-minute elevator speech about who you are, what your role is, and what your company is and what you have to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start with, I guess, the overall collective. Sika, I wouldn't say is unique, but we're a global company situated or started in Switzerland, and we have products in multiple different construction facets. So whether it's different divisions or different what we call target markets, we can provide solutions or products into all those different areas. Different areas including automotive, construction, wall facades. I personally deal with commercial roofing. And so all of these product and solutions could be used at any one point anywhere. Here in the US, we have all those same solutions as well. Good thing with roofing is I came into in a situation of, first, it was only single ply. we now have four different technologies that we're responsible for. So liquid applied membranes, modified bitumens. We just acquired a company, American Hydrotech. So now we have garden roof abilities. And so they all kind of collaborate as one in a general roofing envelope, or what we call roofing and waterproofing technologies. But here as a solution provider, especially for a show like AIA, that doesn't mean that we have representatives that you can talk to if you have a wall facade problem, if you have bridge or deck problem. So that's what Sika can kind of bring to the table, is it may not be just the top, what's keeping the water out of the rest of the roof, but what also is needed for that building as a specifier like yourself.
I will say that I have been spending some time on my master's changing those product designations since you've acquired American Hydrotech.
Yes.
It's like you went and changed all the numbers, and okay, which one goes with which? So I want to talk to you about that afterwards, because I
manufacturers
need a,
are pretty good at that.
Yes, I know. And I love you for it. That was sarcasm. So I'm a spec writer, and so I'm going to start there with our contract documents. We don't know what we don't know. And we write our specs with all the best intentions. And there are some of us out there that write specs that don't know anything about writing specs. And those specs go out, and maybe we didn't do a great job, or maybe we missed something, or maybe we didn't understand something, and then there's a problem on the project. But that often doesn't make it back to me. And how do I learn and do better if it doesn't? And so what I'd like to ask you is, what, starting with contract documents, drawings and specs, what are some of the most common things that you see design professionals miss or not get right that cause problems on the project that by you talking to me today, you're going to help a lot of people not make that mistake again?
No, absolutely. Again, really appreciate the opportunity to speak candidly about this. And luckily, it's a collective, right? So it isn't just one division that this could be applied to. So most common things that we see, or I see, is boilerplate specs, where you have a young professional coming in, whether they have been classically trained or not through their own firm, they have resources that they can now just build a spec based off of boilerplate wording, basically. Now, who knows when the last time that was updated? Who knows if it's current to code requirements? But if it's not being vetted before it's being sent out, it's that communication from the start of, are we having a good foundation, you know, tongue in cheek, of a specification that we're building off of? Because if it's wrong from the start, you're kind of just chasing that catch-up role. And the last thing that you all want to have, and we want to have as manufacturers, is RFIs. Whether it's an RFI or the dreaded, this is a change order, and so now the individuals that hired you to write that specification, are they going to be costing them more money? And that's what we don't want to do. From there, it can get into any one part of the specifications. So if you have it as the section one, performance-based. So be very upfront as to what the demands are from your owner, whether you're setting it as a firm or who you're representing is setting that expectation. Because once it is known upfront, then that's what you're going to start with and you can build towards it. So whether it's specifying certain products to meet that demand or meet that requirement, that's essentially what you're going to be looking for. Getting into section two, don't be afraid to talk to your rep. Because the reps of whatever products you're thinking of specifying, they're that subject matter expert. They know what's current. They know what may be obsolete numbers, right, for that specification on that particular product. If you can reach out to them and not have it be where they're selling you and they only want you to use that product, if you already know you're going to be using that product because it solves the need for that particular situation, reach out to them. Communicate with them. Have that open relationship with them so that you can get that best product for that, you know, specific target that you're looking for. Getting into section three, execution. Again, we see a lot of the problems when it comes down to sequencing. You know, so this is getting into a little bit of the construction specific, not away from the actual specific document. But if you have in your specification the ability to help maintain the sequencing of the products that need to be installed so that you're not running into situations later because of what was specified in section two now gets put into section three, if that's clearly defined, so writing it in language that everybody can read in, and that can be non-legal language, so just plain English, to does a specification need to be handled in an actual different language so that the individual installing your product who's reading your specification clearly understands it. You know, that's, I think, some of the very high-level opportunities that I think you could see for your group to get a little bit better at. Not, I shouldn't say better at, but just clean it up. As a sitting at a manufacturer's across from you.
It's okay. It's okay to say, hey, you got to screw this up all the time. Because we do. And you made a great point about the younger professionals. Again, you learn throughout your career. And if you're not getting the right kind of mentoring and oversight,
yep.
They're trying to do their best job. And if they've never been exposed to a spec before, or they're pretty new to it, they're probably counting on whatever this thing is they've been given to now review to be a good starting point.
Yep.
And so that's one of my things I give back to manufacturers. And I'm not speaking to yours because I don't have your specs in front of me. And I don't know whether they're good or not.
Good point.
But
yep.
One of the issues that we have a lot is with all levels of professionals on the design side is they're trying to hurry. They're trying to get it done. They will go grab the manufacturer spec and cut and paste that into whatever spec they have they're starting from. That spec's not written correctly. It's got risk language because now we're starting with a bad thing from the beginning.
Yep.
I have a lot of conversations with manufacturers about, do you realize that your base spec is putting me at risk?
Sharice, that's a great point. And I should have looked at myself internally first, right? Before we go and judge others. And you're 100% right. As a manufacturer, we do have a responsibility to make sure our own documents, our own website that can be copied and pasted are up to date and clean as frequently as we possibly can. You're 100% right about that.
Well, and I love that we're having that conversation because I'd like every manufacturer to hear it. I would say, and again, I am not speaking to your specs. I have absolutely no idea at this particular moment, but I would say that 90%, and this is, but I do want this message out there, 90% of the manufacturer specs I pull that I need to get information out of are written improperly.
Yeah.
And some are horrible. Some are, okay, the stuff I need is here, but I have to rewrite most of it.
Yeah.
And that makes our job harder too, especially when it's me. I know what to do with it when I get it. All of these design professionals who don't have a spec writer, or a younger person that has never had any, or even an older person who has never had exposure to specs and don't understand the rules of the road, they're just cutting and pasting it in. Now we're just adding insult to injury.
Yes.
We're putting bad stuff in. We're getting bad stuff from the website and I feel for the contractors sometimes.
I mean, getting into this industry, it's crazy to think the amount of individuals that touch a project, right? You know, from the conception of the owner wanting something to the end that's getting signed off, you know, whether it's through a commissioning agent or not, every individual through that whole process could or could not have a say with what's going on in that specification and make sure everything goes right as well. I mean, my history in residential constructions, heck, sometimes plans were made up on a napkin and pushed through a building inspector, and then next thing you know, the house is built. But that's because it's coming out of time, knowledge, and experience instead of having it be properly documented or having, like you said, that mentorship to say, because those folks that were doing it off a napkin, well, they have been doing it for 30 years. You know, they know exactly what needed to get done.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you make a really good point there. Actually, the first manufacturer that's brought up that point since I've been doing these interviews, since I've been here, is a lot of people touch that spec.
Yeah.
And those people don't always talk to each other.
No.
You can have just within one firm, 10 or 15 design professionals in your own firm informing one spec section.
That's right.
And I've seen it. I've done it.
Yeah.
And then you have your consultants who might play some part into that spec. And if those people are not talking together and they're not coordinating information, you can end up with some really interesting documents.
Yeah.
Especially if they're being written by somebody who doesn't know how to take all of these people giving you their input and making sure there's not conflicts as they take that input and put it into the document.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you don't ask me how to change it, but I think having just this conversation is definitely a good starting point of just knowing and making people aware that it should be looked at as we're all in it together. Ultimate goal is to get that building built in the best way possible.
Yeah, my number one piece of advice to people that are learning about specs is get your manufacturer on the phone.
Yeah.
Be aware that they might not have good guide specs, but get your manufacturer on the phone and say, can I email you this? And can you bleed on it? Let me know if I've got my technical requirements right.
Yeah.
They know their products better than anybody. I'm an experienced spec writer. I don't know everything about every product. That's humanly impossible. Nobody's brain is that large.
Yes.
And most of us don't use that much of our brain anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and it's a valuable relationship. And there's oftentimes a resistance because there's the impression that I'm going to get a sales pitch.
Yes.
If you're calling them and saying, I need help with your product, it's clear that you're already decided to use it.
You're already at the dance.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't need to sales pitch you. They need to help you get it done.
Yeah.
And they will. And save you a lot of time and probably a lot of conflicts.
Yeah. Ask questions. Yep.
So let's pick on somebody else for a while. Construction.
Yep.
So I happen to know, particularly with roofing and waterproofing products, these are such critical systems to get right, because we don't want our number one, water. We all know water is the biggest, worst thing in the world.
Yep.
We do not want these systems to leak, and good contract documents is a great start. But even with good contract documents during construction, things go wrong.
Yep.
And we have problems. I mean, because you do roofing, I'm going to tell you this story real quick, but we had a project and we had an owner flipping out. There was, and I don't remember all the details, I just remember the most important piece, but there was leakage going on in the roofing and they couldn't figure out what the heck was going on, where the water was coming from. Turned out that the roofing contractor had decided to pour some leftover hot materials that he was using on the roof, rubberized asphalt or something like that, down the roof drain because he didn't want to carry the bucket. This is a real story. This is not made up. Didn't want to carry the bucket down the ladder. And so the drains were all blocked.
Yeah.
And, you know, so things happen on the job site. Yep. And with particular products, there's typically, especially roofing and waterproofing, some key things that a contractor might not understand. I'm not that, now, obviously, that's an extreme.
Yeah.
That's just stupid. The story I told you, that's just a stupid move. But there are things that maybe a contractor doesn't understand about your product that results in installation issues. And you guys go out there and you see it and you're like, no, you know, I just had in my own home, a leaking skylight because it wasn't lapped properly.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the things you see regularly with your types of products that if somebody just understood, if you do this, that won't happen?
Oh, yeah. So we only have less than 30 minutes now to go over this very, very broad project. So I'll try to keep it as high level as I possibly can.
Just a good couple of good hot ones you'd love for everybody to know.
Oh, absolutely. And most of the information I'm about to probably say, the majority listening to this podcast will already know. But we have an aging crew or group of roofing contractors out there. The pride that the older group has is wonderful. They'll make sure that they are understanding how to install that said product. What we're finding is actually very similar to the earlier conversation we had about mentoring, you know, making sure that you're having that pass down of knowledge to that new group of installers that are coming in. What we're finding, and I swear I'll get to the answer to your question, is a lot of pressure now of cost restraints. So there's going to be a lot of value engineering that's going to get done. It's not wrong to do, and we do see it as a trend, which is fine, subbing out the work. So you're asking contractor A because you know their reputation, but their crews may already be busy. So now in order to meet a construction schedule set for them, they will have to sub out said work, again, whatever it may be. That crew just may not have the same experience working with whoever's manufacturer's products that are going to get installed. At that point, it goes back to what we always talk about, communication, saying, hey, We understand that you're going to need to sub it out. Just give us a heads up, please, so that we can get out there as a manufacturer to make sure that our products are being installed, so that we don't get callbacks, so that everybody doesn't get called up into the roof and you have those, that 10-person meeting, you know, with the polos and the button downs and the hard hats and the Italian shoes, that what do we do with this? Because it's leaking or it was installed incorrectly. So that's where, if we can get ahead of that, possibly you have a fighting chance. As for the products themselves, not unique to us, any manufacturer, we're trying to simplify things. How can we take something that may have been intricate to install, but worked, but now make it so that there's less chance of it failing, less chance of the install going wrong? So very rudimentary problem, two-part, whatever, you name it. Can you make it a one part? Is it possible that you're not having to rely on mixing? Was it mixed long enough? Was it properly additive amount in that two-part product? So will you get the same performance or at least 90% of the performance that you had with a 1K that just needs to get installed? Again, less labor intensive, less thinking on the roof, because time is money to these individuals. You know, the GC is under constraints. All the trades that they hire are going to be under constraints. So you have what we talked earlier, start with that good base spec. Here are the products that we want to use. You're starting with said products. Is it ability to, again, talk to your rep? Hey, we usually use this two-part product, but now the rep can tell you, but we now have, because of innovation, launched just in the last 6 months, a one-part product. Oh, great. Let me go ahead and update our specifications so that everybody is aware that this product is out there, that this product is going to get used. So now, again, you keep taking those small percentages of failures, and hopefully at the end, you're not getting those callbacks of, hey, what went wrong? Why is it going this way? Why is my skylight leaking? Because, again, that contractor who should have known how to lap it properly just didn't miss it that day.
So one of the things I've changed in my specs is I always require a pre-installation meeting.
Perfect.
For roofing and waterproofing or whatever. But not always was, and I specify who needs to be at that meeting.
Yeah.
Not always did it say it that the manufacturer's rep needed to be at that meeting. And I've changed that so that they're always one of the people that has to be at that meeting.
Yep.
So at least if there is something somebody's unsure about, there's a better potential that'll get discussed before the project actually starts.
Yeah, and that could apply to any division. I mean, even if you're installing expansion joints, you know, make sure that your expansion joint rep is there so that while they're installing the roofing system, the expansion joint gets installed correctly instead of, hey, you guys did this. Now, because you did that, our system isn't going to work like it was specified. Or, God forbid, you ever have to take it apart, you know. So that's what you don't want to do either.
No, we don't want to be taking roofing systems apart.
Yeah.
Please, no. So anything else during construction you wish contractors understood better?
Probably the same thing. Ask questions. So if we have technical representatives out there, most manufacturers do, and again, it could be an actual technical representative. It could be a technical sales rep. If there's a question ahead of time, time is money. I get it. People travel a lot, but we now have a technology that allows you to, is it something that you can take a video of? Is it something that you can FaceTime with? Is it something that I can physically see because I can pull over my car because I'm two states over to help you in the moment before someone can actually get to that roof? Reading product data sheets, making sure that something hasn't changed. We're always innovating. We're always looking to see, maybe we lowered the coverage rate. Maybe the mixing time increased because we saw better performance if you mixed it for 4 minutes instead of 2 minutes. And just that small amount of time will save you aggravation at the end of the day. As a manufacturer, we have to make sure that all of our products are obviously within shelf lives, because the last thing we want to do is ship product to a site that it's arrived, that applicator or contractor is not going to stop. He's like, well, this is what you shipped me, so this is what I'm going to install. So we have ownership on ourselves to make sure that we're setting them up to succeed instead of the opposite.
So final question.
Yes.
Tell me what's new and amazing and exciting at Sika that you want everybody to know about.
So I'm going to be selfish. I do work for the roofing division, so I'm going to speak mostly to roofing products themselves. So right now, we've launched this year Very excited. Again, with the acquisition of Hydrotech, we're really pushing our garden division for any needs, that whether it's a Irma roof, pedestal and pavers, anything that is required on a sustainability front to meet those goals, you know, whether it's a city ordinance for sustainability goals, whether it's a specifier's goals, because we all, you know, want to try to get to that end goal of having sustainable products, or an owner's objective, right? So it's a great addition to our lineup to have that offering. From there, our liquid division is launching a new polyaspartic, hot applied polyurea. Those are two exciting products that we're launching in Florida right now. It's something that I've never seen. I'm excited to work with it and deal with it. It does obviously take specialty equipment, and the individuals that are installing this, they are masters at that trade. And it's a great product. It cures in 8 to 10 seconds. You can walk on it right after the fact. So it's something that we're very excited to be adding to our line. New to us, so traditionally Sarnafil has always been known as a PVC membrane supplier, we're now launching what we call Sika Shield, and it's our modified bitumen. Modified bitumen that is a dual sheet. It's an APP and SBS sheet combined as one sheet. We're offering, you know, 25 years. It's very robust. It's something that isn't necessarily always specified in the marketplace, and we're so glad that we now have the opportunity to offer it. On the PVC membrane side, we have new products. We're seeing a lot of Kynar metal be specified. We never had a good way, besides having an applicator break and bend a particular edge, to get it to all stay watertight. So we were able to contribute a adhesive that now can tie our membrane back to that Kynar metal and create that watertight seam when installing it at the edge of the roof. From there, we launched what we call ProWell technology. If anybody has ever drank Coors Light, they know that the beer is cold when the mountains are blue. Well, we reverse that. We now print on our lap a blue dotted line, and when it's at the proper heat and speed to create a weld, that blue line disappears. So it's a visual guide, you know, for the applicators up on the roof to make sure that, one, they're getting a proper seam, but then two, it's also something that can be looked out after when you're doing inspection to say, hey, we missed this section, we missed this start stop. It's only on our field laps. It's difficult to try to get it on hand welding just because of the way you usually cut membrane and whatnot, but very excited to be launching those two innovative products, or more than two innovative products.
That's going to be helpful.
Yes.
Very nice. Mike, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you.
And sharing all this great information. I will be taking some conversations back to the office. I can promise that. I appreciate you taking the time to come chat today.
I appreciate you inviting me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.